Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And we'll begin today on how Michael Cohen's public testimony last week and some more he gave yesterday in private are having repercussions regarding crimes that Cohen says the president committed. For example, Vice News, The New York Times, and NBC News are all reporting that the New York State Insurance Department has now issued subpoenas to the Trump Organization's longtime insurance broker, the company known as Aon. Apparently, that's because of this revealing moment by Cohen under oath last week. This begins with a question from New York City Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
To your knowledge, did the president ever provide inflated assets to an insurance company?
Yes.
Who else knows that the president did this?
Alan Weisselberg, Ron Lieberman, and Matthew Calamari.
And where would the committee find more information on this? Do you think we need to review his financial statements and his tax returns in order to compare them?
Yes, and you'd find it at the Trump Org.
Michael Cohen at the Oversight Committee hearing last week. With me now is Vice News Washington Bureau Chief Shauna Thomas. Those of you who watch Vice News on HBO Tuesday through Friday nights may know she came over from NBC News, where she had been senior producer and senior digital editor for Meet the Press. Shauna, really nice of you to give us some time. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
The Vice News article cites an Aon company spokesperson and one other source confirming an earlier New York Times report. What would this subpoena be looking for exactly, as far as you could tell?
I think the subpoena would be looking for any sort of corroborating evidence for what Michael Cohen said. And we are going to see, I think, from what Michael Cohen said on last week, a lot of looking for actual documents that allow groups like the New York State to move forward in trying to figure out what the Trump Organization may have done. It's one of those things that if you talk to people and you talk to lawyers who do this a lot, one of the interesting things about New York State and New York City being so involved in this is that when we talk about the pardon question, which is something Michael Cohen is getting in trouble for right now as well,
right,
that a federal pardon does not affect New York State courts. So while there could be some safety in whatever goes on for Trump when it comes to the federal situation, it doesn't provide him any safety, and it doesn't provide necessarily Michael Cohen any safety when it comes to things that are happening on the state level.
The follow-up question in that clip that asked who else would know about this, and Cohen named names. Do you know if those people are cooperating with investigators or under investigation themselves?
I do not know if those people are cooperating with the specific investigators who are looking into the insurance claims. We do know that Alan Weisselberg, who is the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization, had been talking to the Southern District of New York. So that brings us back to the federal court situation that people are also speaking about. But he has been, as well as the Trump Organization, incredibly tight-lipped. The Southern District of New York hasn't told us a lot about those conversations. So we kind of have to wait and see. But Michael Cohen was not the first person to sort of say publicly that if you want to know how the Trump Organization works and what they've done, Alan Weisselberg's the guy.
And to put this in a larger context, Cohen testified that Trump sometimes inflated his assets, like to the insurance department, and sometimes deflated them. Here is Cohen from his opening remarks.
It was my experience that Mr. Trump inflated his total assets when it served his purposes, such as trying to be listed amongst the wealthiest people in Forbes, and deflated his assets to reduce his real estate taxes.
And one more, again, Cohen in response to Ocasio-Cortez, this time on whether Trump deflated assets to reduce his property tax bills.
Yes.
And how did he do that?
What you do is you deflate the value of the asset, and then you put in a request to the tax department for a deduction.
So, Shauna, the difference, I guess, is that lying about your wealth to look like Mr. Big in Forbes, as Cohen testified he did, is unethical, but it's not a crime. If you defraud your insurance company or cheat on your taxes, maybe it is.
Yeah, that could be a crime. And I think one of the things that I think is so smart about Greg Walters' piece in Vice, on vicenews.com that you've been talking about is that, you know, he talked to legal experts who say that just messing around with their books could actually be breaking the law. You don't actually have to apparently defraud an insurance company or another organization or another company for the state of New York to say this isn't how you should be conducting business.
And my understanding is that the insurance department does not bring criminal charges, but they can make referrals of suspicious activity to the U.S. attorney in New York, for example. I'm curious how you see this storyline playing out politically in Washington, as Washington bureau chief. Trump can shout witch hunt, no collusion, till he's blue in the face about the Russia investigation. And so far, Republicans in Congress just keep backing him up. But this kind of possible financial fraud is different, and presumably they're on paper. What are the political implications of that?
Well, it's interesting because I'm not totally sure politically this what we're talking about today is all that different for President Trump. Yes, it puts him in a weird position. It threatens his businesses. It could get to his kids, that kind of thing. Like, from a judicial standpoint, you're totally right. This is a whole other can of worms that's being opened up. But politically, as all of these things get investigated, the way President Trump talks about all this, it's all one big witch hunt, and that the Democrats are out to get him. And this is also being led by a state that has lots of Democrats in control at the state level. And so it can easily get wrapped up into his point of view on this, and he will continue to beat that drumbeat. When you look at what the House Judiciary Committee did earlier this week, led by Congressman Jerry Nadler, with their 81 letters and requests to various people who have to do with the Russia investigation, but also who have to do with Trump's just business things, some of which came out of the Michael Cohen hearing, he can say, look, they're not just even looking to figure out what Russia did in 2016. They are trying to, like, dig up everything about me. And that's going to be a refrain on the campaign trail. And, you know, we've seen President Trump do rallies for his presidential campaign. And when he yells witch hunt, when he says those things, that really gets people fired up. And so while I think there's a lot of nuance here and that we should understand what our president has done, what our president is doing, I also think politically he can use this to help bolster his base. Now, is his base large enough to take him back to the presidency in 2020? I don't know the answer to that question, but if he is attacked and he brings that up and he feels attacked, some of his base is going to feel attacked as well.
Yeah. Did you see the new Quinnipiac poll that finds more than 60% of Americans believe Trump committed crimes before he was elected president, and almost 50% think he committed crimes while he's been president?
I saw it briefly, and those numbers with respect to winning re-election are not great. But also, of those numbers, how many of those people are going to vote? And there is another half to this. I realize that a lot of how especially incumbents are seen when you run for re-election is that this is a referendum on you. And that is true to a certain extent. But we're also going to have to see what the Democrats do and what is their message. And are they able to get their base fired up in a way that gets them to vote? One of Hillary Clinton's problems was President Trump being great on the stump. But another one of Hillary Clinton's problems was a lot of people who voted for Barack Obama in 2012 and 2008 did not get up and vote for her. So the Democrats also have to know what their message is with respect to Trump and what their message is with respect to what Democrats want to do.
Right. And with respect to Trump investigations, if they risk having this look like a fishing expedition because they're going after his businesses, they're going after his this, they're going after his that, they better come up with something very specific at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. And some of the experts that we talked to yesterday when sort of working on a piece about subpoena power in Congress that the House of Dems have was basically saying, you know, he looked at this list of 81 things that Jerry Nadler asked for and one kind of questioned whether the House Judiciary Committee has enough staff to actually handle if they actually got back all that. Number two, they're not going to get back all that information, but they probably will make some very specific decisions about what they subpoena and what they dig into based on the reactions they get from people who actually cooperates to see where they can go. But in the end, there's kind of two ways for all this to end. I guess we could see the House Dems try to go for impeachment, but even Jerry Nadler, who has said he believes the president broke the law, doesn't think there's enough to go for impeachment yet. But also, there's a presidential election, and the political process may play this out.
Right. So on that word yet, which you emphasized and said twice.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, it is not, you know, not to parrot the White House, but it is somewhat clear that the House of Dems are looking for a concrete reason to go to articles of impeachment. And, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi has said, we don't have proof. And Jerry Nadler said, we don't have what we need to do that. And I think that is that's a cautious way to go about this. And it's probably the right way to go about this, because impeachment is something, it is a political process, but it is so much more serious than just politics and what it does to the country that they have to be careful. But it's hard not to look at that list of 81 things and not think they are looking for what they would need to actually have relevant articles of impeachment.
They do seem to have proof that Trump committed a campaign finance kind of crime after the check that Michael Cohen produced last week. Because Cohen has pleaded guilty to exactly that with respect to the payments to Stormy Daniels and Karen, and to the to the National Enquirer to cover up Karen McDougal, and the check indicates that Trump was involved with this. There's testimony Trump was involved with this. He was individual one in the Cohen case. All of that stuff, but then it goes to, that's not a serious enough crime to start a political impeachment proceeding.
And that's what makes also impeachment a political process, is that the Democrats have to make a judgment on, do they think a majority of America believes that that is enough to try to unseat the duly elected president of the United States? And I think if they thought it was enough, even with, like, Michael Cohen, as everyone said, brought the receipts, has the checks, maybe in, you know, some of those checks were signed post-Trump becoming president. If they thought that was enough, we'd probably be further along in the impeachment process right now.
Yeah.
So clearly they don't think it's enough.
Now, at another point, Cohen said the president or his company have inflated assets to get a loan. So if Cohen is being truthful, Trump has been all over the place on this. It's part of Cohen's underlying assertion that Trump is a con man. So do you know, this may be out of your beat as a political reporter, but if Trump did this, what in, you know, in this regard, would that be considered unusually con man-y for people in his kind of businesses or income bracket, or if that's just what people do, they estimate high or estimate low based on circumstances?
You know, I got to admit, I am not, you know, a real estate or tax lawyer, so that's a little bit out of my beat. I think the issue we have that we're already seeing play out with Michael Cohen, though, is that there are now questions about whether his testimony in front, that very long testimony in front of the American public, was totally truthful. And the Republicans worked really hard in that hearing to question whether Michael Cohen is the kind of witness that you want to trust, which was part of why him bringing actual documents was so important to back up his testimony. But now there are questions on whether he asked for a pardon or not and what he said, and just those couple of little things that now sort of ring not totally true. It makes kind of a lot of what he said, it calls it into question, at least politically.
Yeah, there's a discrepancy between what he said and what one of his lawyers said about whether he ever engaged in any kind of back and forth about a pardon,
well,
right?
And yeah, and now we have Lanny Davis just came out with another statement trying to explain it. So that popped up in my email. That distracts from the conversation that you want to have about whether, you know, his claims about inflating his business or deflating his business are a problem. And it means that you got to, in some ways, find another witness who's willing to talk about these things.
Or the documentary evidence that makes Cohen's word irrelevant. Like, Cohen testified again yesterday a second appearance in 2 weeks before the House Intelligence Committee, this time behind closed doors, and apparently he brought a suitcase full of documents. We know Michael Cohen has baggage, but we don't usually think of it as the suitcase.
Well, we saw him rolling it yesterday, actually.
Yeah. Now, I didn't see that video. Was it carry-on size, or was it big enough to check?
It was carry-on size.
That still could carry a lot of pieces of paper. How much is known about what was in those suitcases?
We don't know a lot about what was in those suitcases yet, but I do think it makes a lot of sense that he has, because he is not the most reliable witness. And if you, and as the Republicans pointed out, if you read the Southern District of New York statement when they basically were like, you are guilty, he needs to bring the evidence to back up what he says. Now, if he has those documents, that gives the Intelligence Committee and possibly other people, information to go on and try to find other people to corroborate and lets their process play out. But in some ways, it seems like Michael Cohen is going to have to take a little bit of a step back from this.
Shauna Thomas, Washington Bureau Chief for Vice News. Shauna, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.